Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Join us on Monday evening, U.S. Eastern Time, as we explore homeopathy and facial analysis, a show co-hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brooks and Grant Bentley, homeopath and naturopath. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brooks, founder of Homeopathy World Community. I'll be speaking with our co-host, Grant Bentley, Australian homeopath and specialist in the facial analysis method. Today is March 19th, 2012. Perhaps you've been missing us because it's been about a month since we were on the air together, but I've taken a holiday for the springtime, and now the daffodils are up and all the trees are in bloom. It's a time of growth, and we're looking toward our future as homeopathy awareness grows all around the world. So whether you are new to homeopathy or continuing your lifelong study, you're going to find this information this evening, or perhaps you're in the part of the world where it's morning, innovative and a great addition to your healing toolbox. So share these shows with other people, tweet it, send it in an email, put it on a link on Facebook, any way that you know how, let other people know about homeopathy and this form of energy healing. So we've got 30 minutes to talk with Grant today about energy medicine. And we're following up last week, well, last time we were together, we were talking quite a bit about stressors and how the body copes with them.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I hope you're doing okay.
Yeah, we're doing okay down here, too. That's good. It's a beautiful, bright, sunny. Well, it's 28 degrees Celsius. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, probably in the 80s. So it's a beautiful day here.
Oh, wow. The only thing that I would want to say is I just recently clicked on some news. Australia may declare homeopathy baseless and unethical is the title of an article in Natural Society written by Andre Evans. And I know that we're going to be facing some stressors in our community, but I do believe that stress is what makes us grow and get even better than we ever were before.
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, we have to be practical about this, and we do have to rally ourselves a bit. I mean, not all stress is good stress. Some there is, as we know, being practitioners and having patients sit in front of me, that sometimes there are stresses that people just simply cannot endure. And that's the same for professions or whole species too. So I mean, you can get stronger, you can get weaker. How what ends up happening because of that is going to be totally dependent on us, what we think of ourselves and how we can manage the whole situation here. There has been a series of attacks in England, particularly either last year or the year before. But anyway, look, in recent English history, the skeptics in particular have been absolutely barraging homeopathy on an almost daily basis. And that has also begun here in Australia as well. I hear on the grapevine that that we are not the only ones that are going to cop it, but really just the first one that is bearing the brunt of it. So whether or not that ends up being true or not being true, that I don't know. But I guess that doesn't really matter. The simple fact of the matter is that the orthodox medicine as well with the combination of the skeptics are hitting very hard. And they're hitting very hard in the area of funding. in the university systems. There is a big push. There are some alternative medicines in the university system. Chiropractic is one, naturopathic medicine and acupuncture are the other two. Both have been in the university systems for quite some time. Now, that means that they get government funding. That doesn't mean that people don't pay. We're a little bit like you guys, I believe, from if television is a good guide, our students will end up with a real debt at the end of their course that they pay off at a percentage of earnings. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what happens is that even though they need to pay it off, the government pretty much subsidizes you, providing that you're not full fee-paying. You're going in because you have achieved the marks and so on. The government will fund or at least subsidize a major part of your education, and you pay it back when you're able to. And that has been happening. The naturopathic medicine, chiropractic and acupuncture had been on that list because they have been in the regular university system for a number of years now. And I understand that there are other alternative therapies, homeopathy included, that are trying to go down that avenue. Now, what has ended up happening is that there has been a huge educational backlash to this. And as a result of that, also there is just almost, recently, a whole wave of criticism, and it's highly coordinated, because it's on nearly every radio station in every state in the country. It's in all the newspapers and so on. There are people that belong to the Australian Homeopathic Association, AHA, people like Greg Cope, who is the president here, who is doing a really good job of defending the homeopathic system. He's really kind of standing up there, and his methodology of picking through the arguments are sound, and also to he's getting some, he's turning some minds. So he's doing a great job in that respect. There's a radio host here that in Melbourne that is just, a well-declared skeptic. So he didn't give poor old Greg too good a go. But some of the other radio stations have been doing all right. So how it pans out in the end, it's not what they're trying to do is make it sound that it's completely unethical, that people like myself or ourselves are just in the business of ripping everybody else off. It's just a cheap marketing tool for practitioners to gain money. There's really no credibility into it, and that's what they're trying to do, put the fear mm-hmm. of God into patients.
Well, I think it's going to backfire. That's my prediction. I think what's going to happen is because they're constantly on the news, on the airwaves, in the media, whatever they are doing, they are exploding the awareness that this is available, that people have been choosing for so long not to go into the area of let us give you a drug or a pill as a fix. People are realizing that they need to take the control of their own health, and that what they are doing is they are investigating for themselves all of these other forms of healing that have been around for centuries, things like homeopathy, things like Chinese medicine, things like herbs and acupuncture and acupressure and all these other methods. And I think it's going to backfire on them. What's going to happen is people are going to start to inquire. And already the reason it's all happening is because of people are paying out of pocket for all of these alternative types of supplements and vitamins and other things, because people really do want to get well. They don't want to be maintained in their illness. So,
well, look, I'm probably with you, really. I'm fairly optimistic about the medium term results of this, and particularly I was heartened by what we saw in England, was that funding wasn't cut to the homeopaths, it was in fact increased. So I'm kind of optimistic about this. It does do damage, though. I can absolutely assure you that Well, you know, I suppose I should be saying this in private because the skeptics wouldn't like to hear that, or they would love to hear that they are having a short-term effect. But from a personal point of view, I can tell you that business drops when people go on the radio and they really start hammering about how rotten it is and how dangerous it is and so on. It's not ineffectual, I can assure you. It's quite an effectual campaign.
You know what? I think that people are smart and they think that people are dumb, but people are smart. They're going to go to their physician or whatever they're going to do. And I'm not saying all physicians are bad because a lot of them are really great. But they're going to go and they're going to be put on some kind of a drug and they're going to be dependent on taking it and they're not going to want to stay on it. And it's going to be like a cycle of anything. They're going to try this and try that until they find something that works. And we know that homeopathy works. And as long as we know it and we're confident and we let other people know it, that's the message that they're going to hear.
The other thing I think with it too is there is people are basically optimistic. I mean, the people like to know that the future's fairly bright and people like to have happier times rather than sad times. I know that that sounds an obvious fact, but where that leads in our favour is that it's in the psychology of the average human being to get very tired of people who are just constantly knocking other people. And I think that this is another area where, you know, look, if they could pull their head outside of looking down a test tube and seeing how human beings work, not only would their medicine be better, but so too would their marketing, because to continuously just hammer people and you sound like a real Scrooge, and in the end people just will automatically turn them off because they just think, oh, just more whining and campaigning and foot stopping by these petulant little prats, and they end up just turning it off. And that is despite that, what we've got to do too is just tell people who are impartial and listening that most of what is coming out of the mouths of these people is just simply not true. Things like, you know, there's hardly even anecdotal evidence, let alone scientific evidence. The fact that it's on its way out and that it's costs a lot of money when, in fact, we're really cheap healthcare by comparison. Most of what's coming out is absolute lies. There have been in Australia a couple of incidences that have worked against us. There was an Indian homeopath in Sydney, I think it was, and their child died because they had incredible skin lesions and problems, and they just refused any antibiotic treatment because they were afraid of suppression. And I'll tell you what, that is a whole subject in itself if you want to do that one day, because that is something that homeopaths this time, not the conventional medicine, have got a little bit twisted. And so they're, because of this real fear of suppressing, you know, even when they could see that the homeopathic medicines weren't doing anything, they refused any external help. Now, that guy who was an Indian practitioner but living in Australia, now he ended up going to jail because of that. Now, he went to jail because the court said he should have known better.
You're talking about one incident in 200 years, but it's
one incident, of course, that they're going to be leapt on and just used and used and used and used.
I don't think we know the full extent of that case, that the people who were involved with it really have a better understanding of all of the things that they did for that child, including bringing the child to a allopathic physician and trying to get help in every single way that they could. But nevertheless, I think that what's important is that we continue to study and learn together and find out about the methods that you're using. And of course, you know, personally, if something is dire, I do anything to save a life. And even if it's to give an antibiotic or whatever it is, you do whatever you can to save a life, and then you come up and clean up the situation if you can with homeopathic care. So let's go ahead and talk about.
Well, can I just say on that though, and sure. I know that this is going to be really inflammatory to a lot of homeopaths that are listening.
I don't want to get
you know what? That's just bad luck. Because I can tell you that through the clinic that I have, and I treat, you know, look, I like you probably. Homeopathic clinics that I run are at the end of the line. This is people who have gone through all the conventional stuff. They're not getting anywhere, and eventually somehow it just filters in, go and see this guy. They're not looking up homeopathy. I don't advertise all that much. They're not looking up homeopathy, so they're not coming to see me as a homeopath. They're coming to see me because I help their friend.
Exactly.
And it's, so that's all that it is. But I can...
You're right.
But what happens is that these people that are coming to see me are on a cacophony of medical drugs. Now, I am not saying in the slightest that that doesn't make my job harder. But what I am going to say, and I'm going to say this absolutely clearly, if a homeopath is out there thinking that I can't do anything because that patient is on those drugs, then that homeopath is wrong. And if that homeopath is saying that all of those drugs are going to suppress homeopathic treatment, and unless that patient gets off that cacophony of drugs, then the homeopathic treatment is absolutely useless, then I'm here to tell you that that homeopath is also wrong on that account as well. Because I have had patients in my clinic that are on chemotherapy, and you can't get any stronger than this. This is a philosophy that let's just slash and burn and salt the earth, and whatever comes up, we got to cross our fingers and hope that that spells a good one. And so that is the most primitive, in a way, of all for all medical philosophies. And it damages the body to such a degree, I don't think I need to go into it because everybody understands. Now, these are people that are on opiates, they are on chemotherapy, they are having radiation, and I have seen them. I have documented first-hand proof because I video it of people that are blossoming under homeopathic treatment. So what I'm here to tell you, which is completely off track, but this is fine.
Uh-huh.
What I'm here to say to every homeopath that wants to listen, that is jumping up and down about suppression and wants to create a war saying that if you do conventional medicine, you can't do homeopathic, and it's the patient that has to decide one way or the other, my recommendation is that those homeopaths should get out of the business. Because I can tell you right now that homeopaths can stand in there and they can play both a primary and a secondary role. If the patient wants us to just play a supportive role, then that's fine. And we can do that. Homeopaths have grossly underestimated the power of their medicines for a couple of centuries now. There are so many rules and regulations regarding what we can and cannot do, all the way down from x-rays, radiation, steroids, antibiotics, down to toothpaste and coffee, for goodness sake. Well, let me say that if a medicine is not strong enough to withstand a cup of Nescafe, then that medicine is never going to be able to undo anything pathological. So from my point of view, all the homeopaths in the world that are going on about all of these different medicines and regulations and rules and suppressions, they can all go and stand in that corner, because I don't want to go in that room, because my clinic is absolute living proof, and so are the videos that I take of the people that are responding. Absolute living proof that that old school understanding is nonsense. So what I'll do is that while I'm on that track,
well,
I'm just
let me make a comment.
Sure.
Okay. Number one, those were very strong and passionate words coming from you, and I feel that there are many homeopaths are in the ball game with you, just like Dr. Adil who is doing a cardiology clinic, only taking care of all these patients with heart disease and keeping them on their regular medication, as well as giving them mother tinctures and homeopathic in potency, and then slowly taking them off of drugs if need be, if he is able. And so there are many, many homeopaths who are doing that. I think that those folks who studied a classical method and their teachers told them that they could either do one or the other, that was old school, and perhaps, you know, they will just have fewer clients, whereas more people will congregate to you where you are getting results and people are giving their living testimonies to the progress. And I can say personally, I went through surgery, chemo, and radiation, and I'm still here. Is it like 12 years later? And it's homeopathic care. I was doing homeopathy throughout all of my treatments for cancer, and it really gave me so much more strength to keep going. So I do praise homeopathy, even though sometimes you do other things when you don't have the support or whatever it is to not, or you feel like it's the thing to do.
Well, I think that's a really interesting thing that you point out. And this is when I have students, this is something that I always point out to them as well. The idea, the true essence of the homeopath is to alleviate the sufferings of the patient. Homeopathy is not about supporting homeopathic philosophy. That's not what we're here to do. Homeopathy is here to support us, not the other way around. We're not here to be flying its flag. It's got to be proving its worth to us. If it's not proving it in a practical way, then homeopathy may as well be thrown in the bin. It just becomes another philosophy. So I've always gone by the idea that if the patient's feeling better, well, and their energy is returning, then I'm going to let that guide me. My job is not to be a Hahnemanian in the sense that it is a religious term. So I've got to become almost this fundamentalist type of person that reads the organon and sticks to it, because that is not the purpose of homeopathy itself. So it's not dogma, it's results that we're looking for. And I have let those results pattern and frame my philosophy all the way through my now 20-year homeopathic career. And that's why, in the end, I can say that there are so many aspects of Hahnemann's writings, the vast majority, where he is absolutely spot on. But that doesn't necessarily mean to say that every aspect of homeopathic philosophy is right. There are many contemporary books that will talk about don't take steroids or don't take antibiotics. They'll throw you down a level here, or they'll suppress there, and so on and so forth. Well, I just don't see it. I mean, I understand what it is that they're saying, but I don't see it. One of my very first examples of becoming to question this was, and I say this story a lot to students, so if there are any listening, they're probably a bit bored with this, but I can remember, and we're going back 15 years ago, so I'm only in the game 5 years. So, and there was a woman who I was treating at the time for rheumatoid arthritis. And when she first came in, she came in with calipers and a walking frame. And both her legs were just all tied and bound with all this metal, and she was in dreadful pain. Now, over the next few years, I saw those calipers come off and that frame turn into a walking stick, or two walking sticks. Those two walking sticks turn into one walking stick, and that one walking stick disappear. And in the end, she could walk around the block. Okay, slowly, but, you know, you get the idea. We're talking about another homeopathic miracle, and I mean another, because they are continuous. But the thing with her, and this is what taught me this, is that she loved strong percolated coffee. That was her one treat in life. Now, I'll tell you how she remembered to take her medicine every day, and it was pills at this stage. She said, every single morning I get up, I pour myself a cup of coffee, and I make sure, as a remember, my routine is to put the two pills into my coffee along with the sugar, and that way I always remember to take it. And I can remember thinking at the time, but that should have negated it. But you know, all the theory is saying you can't, not even to give it up, but she's putting it in the coffee. And what I'm and yet I'm sitting here watching the calipers disappear, the walking frame disappear, the canes disappear. And so what I've got to do is that I had to realize, I had to reach a conclusion that there's either something not quite right with the theory, or what I'm seeing has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm doing. And yet she was doing nothing else except doing the normal rheumatologist treatment that she had been doing, and it had been the same treatment for 20 years previously. So the only thing that she was doing different in those few years was the homeopathics. And so it had to be the homeopathic medicine.
And working so through the coffee. And working through the coffee.
Not only working through the coffee, but helping sweeten it up. So there you go. So it was from that point that I began to say, well, perhaps not all these rules and regulations are right. And I began understanding that I reckon that there are a number of practitioners out there that have said, well, this was going to be a fantastic prescription until the patient decided to brush their teeth, or until the patient went out and took some antibiotics. And I just think, you know, if that was now, here's 20 years later, here will be my bottom line to this. If that was a good remedy, it would have worked. The fact is, that patient didn't antidote that remedy. You got it wrong. And you are going to have to take some accountability. You are going to have to dust yourself off as the practitioner. You are going to have to open your repertory and start again, because you got it wrong. The onus is on the practitioner, not the patient. Before we go, because I do have to, I can only keep it to the 30 minutes, but...
Right.
What I really want to say in closing is that a lot of this suppression has come about because Hahnemann spoke about it. Now, let's go back into history, not revisionist history, but let's go back into history. What Hahnemann talks about is that he talks about suppression and the depletion of the life force by the medical practices of his day. Not today, his day. The medical practices of his day were to bloodlet until somebody couldn't be, you know, even Chinese burned out of one more drop of blood. Purgatives, sweating, the whole kind of gamut, making people salivate. No wonder the medicine was, or the cure was, more dangerous than the disease that they had. And he saw vitality and life force depleted. Now, I get that. So I'm not sitting here saying Hahnemann was wrong. What I am saying is that if you have to take a course of antibiotics, you can't honestly, in modern day and age, compare that to the same depleting force of venesection. I mean, you can't do it. And yet this is what contemporary homeopaths are doing. Hahnemann said that all allopathic medicine depletes the vital force, and we are carrying on this tradition. But what we're failing to recognize is that allopathic medicine has changed. They are not doing the same life-depleting treatments that Hahnemann saw when he was sitting down as that kind of assistant physician of the prince, of the whatever principality, I can't remember my history now, and he watched them bleed him not once without effect, but twice without effect, but thrice without effect. And that was when he turns around and writes, well, if it didn't work the first time, why are we doing it the second time? And let alone the third. And I'm sitting there watching this guy die, not because of the disease, because of what you're doing. And this is why he turns around and he says, there's got to be a better way than this, guys, surely. But the question is,
yeah.
is that what medicine is still doing? And the answer is no, they're not doing that. They're not. Now, I'm not saying everybody go out and give up homeopathy and go and see a doctor. That's not what I'm saying either. But what I'm saying is, if we're going to declare war and stamp our feet and jump up and down, please can we understand what we're jumping up and down about? It's
well,
not
that's why we're here. That's why we're here.
That's so, right. That is why we're here. And okay. That is why don't be afraid of homeopathy taking a supportive role. Look, there's no doubt. So it's really important after saying all this, there is no doubt that there are so many conventional drugs that really do knock the system about. But they're given because they are needed at that particular time, and that is the choice that patient has made. And I don't want to, not only for legal reasons, but for the fact that I don't want to put fear into my patient's mind. So I don't want to tell them, to put them into a situation where it's us or them. So the first thing that I do, because patients, when they start reading about it, they say, do I have to come off my medicine? I say, no. Stay on it. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and take away your need to take that medicine in the first place. And we're going to just, look, that is something you'll discuss with your doctor at a later stage. Let's just get you back up on your feet right now. No pressure on them. We will just do our job. They don't have to make decisions. I don't have the AMA coming down on me, and I have documented proof that it still works.
Okay, so what I want to do now, and I sent out a broadcast message to the entire Homeopathy World Community membership. If anybody checks their email and can get the messages as reminders about the shows, and within that message is also a link to vcch.biz/content/HFA-training. That's homeopathy facial analysis. Is it homeopathy or homeopathic facial analysis? How do you use it?
Homeopathic facial analysis.
Okay,
yes.
Homeopathic facial analysis. And you will reach a page on Grant's website, the Victorian College of Classical Homeopathy, where he provides quality training in homeopathy since 1989. And there is a whole set of information there, a full overview of the type of training that you will receive if you sign up for his classes. There's a 15-week option that's just going to get started April 5th, 2012.
It's April 4th in the U.S., the online course commences.
Okay.
It's like you were saying, if you just go to vcch.org, you see the training part there on the left-hand side. Just click into that. It'll give you all the details. But, yes, it's April the 4th.
Right. So it's just in time. We're going to be having World Homeopathy Awareness Week coming up, April 10th, I think it is. And so for anybody who is interested, if you've taken the classes, why don't you tell a friend, just tell one more person about it, because you're going to learn so much. The kind of things that you've been listening to over the past 15 sessions we've been doing this together. And yes, can you believe that?
There you go.
Since October of 2011, we've been doing these shows together, and I think we've made quite a buzz. We've had hundreds and hundreds of listens to these shows, and it's just a matter of telling one other person who might be interested, whether if they're interested in energy healing, whether they're thinking about a path to a career. Whatever it might be, you're going to learn a lot, even if it's for self-care for your family. And so I wanted to tell everybody about that, and that we are coming up to the World Homeopathy Awareness Week. And on the front page of Homeopathy World Community, we have number one, the weekly digest, and number two, there is a countdown. It says 21 days until World Homeopathy Awareness Week. And you can put the same kind of calendar right on the front of your website to let folks know that is something you are passionate about and something you will be involved in. So I think our time is up. And
okay.
I want to thank you. It was very exciting. We didn't talk about what we planned, but we can put it for the next time.
Oh, that's okay. No, that's true. We didn't do a single word of what I had planned, but that's okay. What we did was really important anyway.
Sure is. Okay, well, you have a good day, and we'll be talking
you too,
to
Debbie.
You soon. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Homeopathy and Facial Analysis on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopaths Debbie Bruck and Grant Bentley. We encourage you to follow our show. Click the reminder button to receive email notices when shows air. Share with friends on Facebook and MySpace, and also Twitter. We welcome your comments and questions. See you next time.